Jerry Jones booed by his own. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And this is the second training camp in a row when Jerry has been up there giving a speech to all the Cowboy fans who show up to Oxnard to training camp, and he got booed, Perloff.
Ah, yeah. Is that totally new for Jerry to get booed? I'd boo Jerry. Why would you cheer Jerry?
Well, the fans are fed up. I mean, he's trying to go out there and give some like rah-rah, rev up everybody for an awesome season, and they're raining down boos on him. And, you know, you could say, well, it's the showman, and any reaction is a good reaction as long as they're showing up and booing. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Oh, my God. In Philly, we would boo everybody. If you're coming off a 7-win season, you would totally get booed.
Well, I think the people in Philly would not even be dumb enough to take the microphone off of a 7-win season. Like, so you could get something thrown at your head.
Jerry's got a vibe. You know how they boo Roger Goodell? Like, Jerry is basically Roger Goodell. Like, he's secretly, not even so secretly, running the league. So this does not surprise me. In fact, you're not allowed to cheer or boo as a member of the media, but I'd probably boo a little bit on the side.
Yeah. Poll question, are the Cowboys in danger of becoming a secondary team? But meanwhile, we are going around the league to ask one question every day, Pearl, up until the season kicks off. Dallas Cowboys against your reigning Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. We've started to go east to west. We started with the Eagles. So today, our third team, it's Dallas.
I feel so lucky to be the quarterback.
It's the position everyone wishes they could play.
Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
Sit down and shut up.
But it's not for the faint at heart.
Quarterbacks are premium.
I think those things add up to make it quarterbacking the toughest job in sports.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, again, so today the Dallas Cowboys are front and center. Tomorrow we will finish out the NFC East with the Giants. No, we already did the Giants.
Yeah, we're done with the NFC East. This is the last team. This is the fourth team we're dealing with.
Okay, we saved the Cowboys for the last of the NFC East teams, and then we'll move on from there. But, EJ, what's the one big question about the quarterback?
Okay, so tomorrow is Dak Prescott's birthday. He will turn 32 years old. Damn. So happy birthday for Dak Prescott. Which leads me to thinking about the future of Prescott as a Cowboy. Now, what do you think is more likely? Dak Prescott is a Cowboy for life, or Dak Prescott is off the Cowboys in 3 years?
Here we go!
So, why on earth would anybody think that the Cowboys can quit Dak Prescott? He turned 32.
He's a
drug. So, by the time he's up for another contract extension, he'll be 34. That
no
is still
Dak
young.
Prescott.
Like, I don't think that they're, you know, they've gone this far with him. I don't see them ever getting out of this Dak Prescott limbo, I'm going to call it. Like, why at 34 are they going to go all of a sudden go to another quarterback? He's still going to be their best option. You know, I was thinking about this. They are stuck in the same spot as the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're never bad enough to get in the top five.
Here we go.
There's not going to be a better option. They if there was a better option than Dak Prescott, they probably would have already got it by now. But there's not, and I see the same exact thing because this is about the how many of these negotiations have we gone through with Dak? Three?
Third. Yeah.
So I feel like it's going to be, we're going to be sitting here hopefully in a couple years from now and be like, can you believe that they haven't paid Dak yet?
I'm not doing that. I just see nothing
ever changing in Dallas. I see nothing ever changing with Jerry Jones. I know he's getting older. I hope he's still, you know, running. I hope he's still running the team at 85. And I think if he is, then he will bring back Dak Prescott.
I'm going to say no, not just to go against Perloff here, but I do, I understand that Jerry can't quit people, right? Always stayed with coaches too long.
Except for,
ironically, Jimmy Johnson, who he should have kept for much longer and jettisoned him out of town. But love Troy to the end, love Tony Romo to the end. Obviously, Dak now has real soft spot. I just think this could be a situation where you actually still have a lot of players who want to play for the Cowboys, right? Who would come in, take maybe less as a backup situation, something like that to come in, guys at the end of their career. Mm-hmm. And Dak Prescott, guys, is not the picture of health. Many lower body extremities. And so I'm saying two things here. One, I think he could get hurt and then get Wally pipped by somebody. Or two, I think he's just hurt and maybe he's not playing for three more years.
Think Joe Milton's going to Wally pip him?
Man, I love the Joe Milton highlights. That dude is amazing in a practice setting.
Read the real reports about how he's doing in practice. Yeah, he can throw the ball 90 yards. We'll see. Why hasn't he been Wally pipped yet? The guy's been hurt 100 times.
Well, come on, Daddy.
I don't know if they were ready to say goodbye. And now being 32 years old, I just don't think he's going to, I don't think he's going to hold up for the next 3 years. I mean, some of these lower leg injuries and lower body injuries, I mean, they're no joke. So I could see them having to move on just because I think we have this idea that every quarterback is going to play until their mid-30s or every quarterback's going to play into their 40s. It's just not the case.
So it's funny. You say that players will want to play in Dallas. Stafford's going to be too old to come back home. Kyler Murray's not going to be a better option. I'm thinking of the Dallas quarterbacks. I'm not sure who, you know.
Oh, I could see Jerry taking a shot on Tua, someone like Tua. That.
I mean, come on. 34-year-old Dak is healthier than Tua. That's
Kyler
who you got?
Murray?
Yeah, I just said Kyler Murray.
Oh, sorry, yeah. High school phenom?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Dak's better than Kyler Murray. Even at 30, that's the thing.
But he's not younger.
Yeah, I know, but Kyler Murray will probably be a backup by then. I just think that's not the best option. What does Kyler Murray want in the NFL? I think that Dak at 34 could outcompete Kyler Murray. And you know that Jerry's not going to... It's a love affair with Brian Schottenheimer. Have you noticed that?
I
feel like he's found his new Jason Garrett. So Schottenheimer, who's Dak's guy, is still going to be the coach. I know, logically, if they don't win in the next couple of years, they would finally say goodbye to Dak. But this is the Cowboy way, Maggie.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I mean, the other part, too, is we keep talking about these great quarterback classes. Can I make another prediction here?
Yeah.
About how next year is a good quarterback class, but no, 2027 is the real quarterback class. And that's, you know, this, we've got some bright future in front of us in terms of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think it could be a second round pick that takes Dak's job. I don't think it has to be a top five quarterback. I don't think the Cowboys have to get into the top five of the top 10.
Extremely rare.
Second round quarterback's extremely rare, but you know, maybe your guy Jalen Hurts has turned a corner or created a new lane or alley, because I think the Cowboys now taking a quarterback in the draft, fans would rejoice.
Well, listen, I mean, Joe Milton basically feels like a second round pick. They brought in Trey Lance to try that. I just think that Dak is able to fight those guys off. Cooper Rush. It's
Cooper
a little
Rush.
Different.
I mean,
yeah, no, he was not nobody.
Actually, a really good backup, like high end backup, but
total left turn. Like next year's class, I love how next year's class is always this fantasy. It's always going to be better. And next year's class is filled with guys who could have gone pro this year, who are 23 years old and said got third round grades from the NFL.
Well, a lot can change in a year.
Yeah, but generally, it's not like you have Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams coming in next year. Maybe Arch, but I mean, they would. By the way, that'd be a good spot for Arch. He's in Austin. Jump over. I don't think that's going to happen because the Cowboys are going to keep on being around 8, 9, 10 wins. That's the problem. They're in limbo, and it could happen again. We've seen many teams that hold on their quarterbacks too long, and why would the Cowboys not be one of them?
Because of Dak's injury history. That's why. It's criminal that they haven't been thinking about the future even more, considering he goes down and the season's over. And that's what's happened, even though Cooper Rush is a high-end backup or what have you. But it's gone. Like, they don't have the run game that they used to have that can keep things alive and afloat. The NFC is too good. The Eagles are too good. You can't mess around. So the fact that they have not started to look towards the future like the Packers do is silly.
Can I tell you, since Jalen Hurts went in the second round in 2020, there's only been three second-round quarterbacks. One was Kyle Trask. I don't know why he never got a shot in Tampa Bay. The other was Will Levis. And then this year, Tyler Shuck. I think second round quarterbacks, it's kind of tough, Maggie. That's your answer.
But think about this. First of all, we haven't seen Shuck play yet. But secondly, look at Shuck is 27, right? Like, these guys are coming into the league and they've already had 50 starts. And, you know, they're just a lot more seasoned. Like, you love Cam Ward so much right now. He's the number one overall pick. It's like, wow, he looks like a veteran. It's like, because he's been playing college football for close to a decade.
Right, but let me tell you about some of the first round pick. Yeah, but the good ones, if they play so long, then everyone's seen them and they go high. I just don't think this idea you're going to get a late first round or a second round guy to replace Dak Prescott. You need to tank. You need to be really bad. You
Everybody
need to get into the mix
back.
For Cade Klubnik or whatever. Like, you really need to get up there. And the Cowboys are never going to do that.
So let's put it as a poll, EJ. More likely, Dak Prescott on the team in 3 years, off the team in 3 years. And Cowboy fans, I'm pretty sure I know what they'd like to happen. They're all ready for some new blood.
Everybody knows the quarterback.
I mean, Especially because Dak had like one of the all-time like high points, which was beating the Tampa Bay Bucks in the playoffs. I mean, sent Tom Brady into true retirement, not phony retirement, real retirement. He sent Tom Brady packing. It was a great game. Threw four touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, but I mean,
awesome.
That was a terrible Bucks game.
Nobody cares. Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah, that game. No, because that game was that game didn't. That's not his high. Is that his high? If that's
definitely.
High, well, I mean, they were a legit team when they the Dez catch, right? That was him, right? 16, like that team was good. I think that was the team that had a chance. And then there was a couple other good teams, but again, they're kind of in limbo. They feel like the Steelers with Tomlin, right? Like even if they make the playoffs, no one thinks they're going to win. So I don't know why I'm making a case against Dak, but you say that, of course, logically Dak's going to be gone, but does Jerry ever change, Maggie?
I don't know. Let's get to some sports nicknames.
From the fridge to the great one, it's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
We are down to the Elite Eight, the regional final, if you will, and the voting will be open now. Perl, in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, the one seed, hard to beat. It's Mean Joe Green.
To this day, I don't think anybody calls him Mean Joe Green but me, and he hates it when I do it. But I do it just to piss him off.
That was Terry Bradshaw. Mean Joe Green in the Elite Eight faces off against the three seed, the Intimidator.
You know, someone like Dale, I guess, would have to be in that category for sure.
Earnhardt would have to have the reputation for being the Intimidator.
Probably the biggest one, I guess, would be Earnhardt.
Yes, Earnhardt would be an Intimidator.
Dale Earnhardt's right at the end of the class.
Dale Earnhardt.
I reckon, you know, off the top of my head, Earnhardt.
Earnhardt.
People like Earnhardt. And
most of them have said, when we asked the question, that Dale Earnhardt, his name has been mentioned as the top Intimidator. Your reaction?
Well, that's great. I hope I intimidate some more.
So that was all of Earnhardt's peers calling him the Intimidator, then him reacting to being the Intimidator. So that's the Tough Guys and Enforcers region. One seed Mead Joe Green against the three seed the Intimidator. Pro, moving on to the Flash and Fun region. This is where we got some lower seeds, including Cinderella Story. But is it really the nine seed William Refrigerator Perry?
Welcome back to the show. My next guest has been bringing some fun and excitement back to the NFL this season. He tips the scales at 304 pounds. And as you're about to see on this videotape on October 21st against Green Bay, he became the heaviest man in NFL history to score a touchdown off a set play. The man is just plain big. Ladies and gentlemen, from the undefeated Chicago Bears, please welcome William Refrigerator Perry.
The intro on David Letterman there for the fridge.
Yeah, remember when 304 pounds was big for an lineman?
I was thinking
now
that.
I'd be way too small.
I was thinking, it got me thinking, how big was Haloti Ngata? I was like, he was like 330.
340. Yeah, I mean, now for the position the fridge plays, he'd be tiny.
So true. The fridge is the nine seed facing off against Perloff's childhood hero, the six seed, Dr. J.
So the announcer was like a constant. You would constantly hear this guy on a microphone when you're playing out in the playground, and he's really just talking to the crowd and having fun. So he gave me several nicknames, none that I could identify with. So I did walk over to him and said, if you're going to call me anything, just call me the doctor, because that's the nickname that I've had, you know, since junior high school.
Love it. Dr. J. So the voting is open. Mean Joe Green against the Intimidator and the Fridge against Dr. J. We are finding the best sports nickname of all time.
Got to give Fridge a big chance here. People love that nickname.
Yeah, it's a great nickname. It is funny, though, when you think back about guys who are like so huge, even like Babe Ruth, you know, the great Bambino, would not be anywhere close to like Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton, you know?
Oh, yes, totally. I have a question. Does everyone know Dr. J's real name?
Yeah.
Is that like DJ?
I think the 76ers actually misspelled it once when they showed him on the Jumbotron, and they put Julius Erving and spelled his last name with an I.
I just think Dr. J.
Bambino!
I think a lot of young kids probably just know him as Dr. J and might not know the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't mean this as a dig. I wonder how many young kids know about Dr. J now. I mean,
it's pretty
in Philadelphia, definitely, because he's a local legend. But I wonder
if Dr. J's a local legend?
No, he's an NBA legend, but you definitely know him in Philly because he's around. He lives in Philadelphia. Yeah. He's still a very big presence there. I don't know. Does our intern know Dr. J? You do? Okay. Sports
Dr. J was the face of the NBA for 10 years.
Yeah, but you're asking someone who was born in 2000 or 2005.
Wait, ask the intern, did he know Dr. J's real name?
Do you know Dr. J's real name?
Yeah. Julius Erving.
Okay.
Well, he works
what year were you born?
'04.
Okay. Maybe the young kids today do.
I think Julius Erving. I think if you know anything about sports, I think you know Julius Erving as Dr. J. I think you know his name.
Hey, we're talking about a few generations removed, though, now from Dr. J.
I think there's less people who know Magic's real name than Dr. J.
Yeah, that one definitely not. Maybe his name is Magic Johnson.
Yeah, they call him, like, they don't say Dr. J. Irving every day. Like, they, you know, he's just either Dr. J. or you say Julius Erving. With Magic, it's not. It's just Magic Johnson.
Intern Nick, do you know what Magic's first name is?
Well, I just said it, but yeah.
All right, put Intern Nick on for a second.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
We have to quiz him.
Okay.
We have to quiz him for 2 seconds.
You can wear my headphones.
All right.
Better. All right. Intern Nick, do you know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's real name?
No, not his real name. His original
name. His original name, yeah.
No, I thought it was always Kareem.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's original name?
No.
Have you ever heard of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf? Okay. Do you...
Are these basketball? Well, I know Kareem is, but was that one basketball also?
Yes.
Do you know Earl Monroe's nickname?
The Pearl.
There you go.
Do you know Walt Frazier's nickname?
Clyde.
Well, if he's a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Clyde's still on TV.
Okay.
82 games a year.
Do you know George Gervin's nickname?
I don't know who George Gervin is.
Okay. What is going on?
What about Carl Malone's nickname?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I do. Off the top of my head, at least. I know who Karl Malone is, but...
Okay. But see, doesn't know the mailman. It's the mailman, but that's fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't
That's crazy that. To me. That's funny.
But like...
Taxi!
You know, and Dr. J was playing before Malone. I mean, overlapped a little bit, but he's before Malone.
But the name Dr. J, I think is... Maybe I'm in Philly. It's kind of iconic. Like, Dr. J, it's just one of those easy nicknames. Kind of like, let's say, an NFL nickname that people seem to know the player, know the nickname. I thought Crazy Legs Hirsch was pretty well known because EJ did not know Crazy Legs Hirsch.
No, did not know that. No.
Night Train Lane.
Oh yeah, big Night Train Lane guy.
But they played pretty close to the same time.
Night Train Lane was on a video game that I played All Pro Football. That was awesome, and that's where I learned about Night Train Lane. Also, I'm a big NFL Films guy. So, but Crazy Legs Hirsch is not a name I heard of. No.
You guys ever heard of Michael Jordan?
Familiar with his at work? Yes.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay. Go vote. Right now, Elite Eight.
Not knowing the mailman. What? That made me feel really old.
George Gervin won't hurt more than me, to be honest. Yeah. Not knowing who he is. Like, it's crazy.
George Gervin?
Yeah.
Shut up, old man.
I mean, not every game was on TV back, you know, when George Gervin was playing.
But
you're not getting out-of-market games.
Could anyone else finger roll like that man, though?
Yeah,
do they even finger roll anymore?
It's a signature move.
The finger roll. Actually, he had that big Nike campaign like 10 years ago. They brought him back. It was great. Skywalker, David Thompson, anything? Does it do anything for anybody?
These nicknames have been really, really fun to go back to.
Oh, and the other Skywalker, too. Kenny Skywalker.
New York Knicks.
Yeah, remember that guy? He won the dunk contest with like 8 chains around him. Oh, he was amazing.
And high top fade that was like,
oh, God, I love him.
Yeah, like a kid in play style fade.
I'm just on there voting. I'm voting for an NBA nickname to win this. That I'm voting early and often. Maggie
I don't know.
Pearl.
I think the fridge has got a shot here against Dr. J. Anyway, you can go vote. At Maggie and Pearl is where you can get in on that action. We've got more results for you later in the show. Our question for you today, our one big quarterback question, will Dak Prescott be a Cowboy in 3 years? Yes? No? Let us know what you think. Also, coming up, it's the M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a huge weekend?
Here we go!
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Every week we do the M&P 500, stock up, stock down. Kind of a busy, weird sports weekend, and you think that's fair to say? But why don't you get us started? Who's your stock up, Maggie?
Oh, this was hilarious. Cooperstown Hall of Fame induction. You had 5 guys getting in over the weekend, and Ichiro Suzuki certainly took the cake because English not his first language, He was hilarious. It was joke after joke, and including a one at the Marlins' expense.
Honestly, when you guys called to offer me a contract for 2015, I have never heard of your team.
This dude was like doing a set. It was great.
I don't even get that joke. I got to be honest. What do you mean he's never heard of them?
Like, it was like, again, that's like, how irrelevant the Marlins were at the time.
But I get everyone thought this was so funny, but that isn't even the realm of possibility. Unless it's, you think it's possibly true? Like, what? I don't get it. Is that funny? Everyone's like, oh my God, Ichiro is so funny.
Well, Pearl, it's not Shane Gillis up there doing a roast.
So
it's
you lowered
Ichiro.
The bar just because his second language? Okay.
And, you know, I got to be honest, I listen to a lot of Hall of Fame speeches, and all these guys are great and they deserve their moment, but some can be extremely boring.
JJ,
and,
wow.
Ichiro, I'm looking at AJ, Ichiro just spiced it up a little bit. Stock way up.
JJ was the crybaby.
Also, Ichiro made it once again a massive deal out of that one guy not voting for him.
Yeah, he said he's no longer invited to his house for dinner.
That is really funny. Okay, my stock up, also an international star. We don't talk about Serbian horse racing enough on this show. I've always said that, Maggie. We got to keep our thumb on what's happening in the scene over there because
no.
Three-time MVP Nikola Jokic. Won a race this weekend, runs out onto the course, hugs the horse, is crying tears of joy at popping champagne. Have you ever, Maggie, seen that joy from him as a player even once?
The only way I can describe how he was crying was sobbing. He was
yeah,
sobbing.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I can't believe that man has it in him. Then I was reading the story. Apparently, he thought about dropping basketball even when he was good. To be a horseman full-time, and his father had to talk him back into basketball.
I mean, you can tell where the passion is. Like, the way that he took this gigantic cartoonish bottle of champagne and shook it up and then sprayed it all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't even think he was doing that for the NBA title.
No.
I'm pretty confident that he didn't.
He was on his phone looking at flights home to Serbia so he could see his horses.
It was like his crying was like that ugly crying when you're really crying. His hands over his face and his shoulders were, like, going up and down, like, heaving.
Yeah.
It was real tears.
Yeah, amazing. Full credit to him, though. Like, for some reason, this does not bother me at all. Like, I don't like when players have distractions, but this makes him better.
I think it's funny that it's harness racing. I don't know why that detail to me is
100% agree.
Is also funny. I don't know. I don't know why. I can't explain that. Stock down. Rams quarterback situation. This is not good, guys. Matthew Stafford not in training camp this week. They are... You know, swearing up and down that there's no setback necessarily, but they're just being smart. But don't you have to wonder if new back issues have crept in? So a lot of people online over the weekend kind of mocking the fact that Devontae Adams thought Jimmy Garoppolo was getting him killed in Las Vegas, and now Garoppolo is the backup to Matthew Stafford. We talked before about the links between Sean McVay and Arch Manning. Like, they can't tank. They're too good, even with Jimmy. But... this Stafford back issue is certainly making me rethink a team that I had penciled into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Stock down Rams right now.
Well, I think you're being a little too negative too early. Like, we don't know. He's old. He's, you know, you get back stuff. I get it all the time. You know, it doesn't mean he's not going to be fine. You still have 40 days till the season or a little bit more.
No, it's awesome. It's not like it's a 17-game grueling season.
Yeah,
before you even get to the playoffs.
Let me ask you this. Is there a tougher guy than Matthew Stafford?
Maybe not.
He is incredibly tough. And also, Jimmy G can win you a couple of games. I'm not out on the... I saw the idea you brought up. Are the Rams going to be able to tank for Arch? Okay, we'll see. They have this awesome young defense. Just bring Stafford out. Bring him out for the regular season. He doesn't need a training camp. Guy knows every play in the book.
It's a new spine.
Okay, I'll go for the real... By the way, has he missed a lot of action for a back stuff? Does Stafford have a back history?
Yeah. Remember 2 years ago.
What did he miss?
Not last year, but the year before. I don't know if he missed games, but he was definitely dealing with a back issue.
Okay. I'm going to actually go with Kenny Pickett with a hamstring injury. This is what I hate about that injury is because he's clearly going to be healthy enough to play, but we're not going to see a full Kenny Pickett. You know, I hate 85% to 95% healthy because this is a guy who needs to really... He's actually he's way more mobile, I think, than people realize. He's pretty fast. Like, if you see him not be able to run, that'll kill him in this quarterback competition, because that's the one thing that he's way better than Flacco at, escaping. I just feel like he'll be out there, but it won't be a full Kenny Pickett. So he will sort of get screwed out of his real chance to win this job. I don't know why I'm rooting for Kenny Pickett to win that job one way or the other. But I think the Browns, my theory is they wanted him to be the starter all along. But this is sort of a very uncomfortable position for them.
Well, then you could probably say stock up Shador. And we don't know if he's going to actually have the stock up, but the possibility of him getting more meaningful reps and making a dent in that quarterback position starts today, where the Browns are in pads for the first time.
I think it's stock up Flacco. I think this is, I've always thought it's Pickett and Flacco are going to start week one of those two. So now it'll be probably, actually, I don't know. I think Pickett could be back in 4 days and it won't matter. But I feel like this means that it's more likely to be Flacco.
I could go stock down the Yankees, but Manny's already having a tough enough morning because of a big day yesterday. The Yankees, who on May 27th was in first place at the AL East, and they were 34-20. And now yesterday, 56-48, 6.5 games back from the Blue Jays. And I should update the standings from today. But in fact, I'm not going to go with the Yankees because I have another stock down. And it's to the people who had a new baby daughter and named it Kelsey Taylor. So obviously their last name is Taylor, and then they decided to go first name Kelsey as like this nod and homage to this relationship that...
Oh, okay.
You jabroni!
Exactly. First of all, I feel like the parents did this in some twisted way to use their child as a prop to meet these two. Because the internet's crazy like that, and you could see all of a sudden it's like, well, let's meet them and meet the kid and all that. So it's not even about what your kid's future is going to be like. It's about you, parents. Selfish.
Yeah, but you know, Kelsey Taylor is mainstream enough. I didn't even make the connection when you first said, I'm like,
you think Kelsey is a good name for a girl?
Yeah, of course. Is that not a girl's name?
Yeah, I know people named Kelsey.
Okay.
Wait, is Kelsey a boy's name? Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey is spelled the way Travis Kelsey's last name is, but Kelsey is a girl's name.
Okay, Kelsey.
Oh,
Taylor.
Do they spell it? Spell
it's they spell K-E-L-C-E. It like Kelsey, like Travis Kelsey.
Yeah, a lot of people have gone Peyton boy or girl name and spelled it like Walter Peyton or Peyton Manning. I find that very interesting.
I don't know.
Kelsey
don't
Taylor. That's a fine name though. You could be. That's actually a pretty good name, right?
We all know what they're doing here. They're trying to do the celebrity couple thing, and it's weird to me when people do stuff like that. So that's
also
my final stock.
If they break up, then now your namesake is a failed relationship.
Imagine if you had named your kid like Stevie Buckingham, you know, or something stupid like that. I don't know.
That's a deep pull.
Sorry. It was making its rounds on the internet. Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham.
Robin Tyson or something like that.
Oh, you know? God.
Seriously, like that would be dumb.
This is why it's tough when you name your kids after people, because, you know, the funny thing about people is that we're just people and we're flawed and we're weird and we go through ups and downs and nobody's immune to it.
Yeah, but the thing about Kelsey Taylor is no one will blink if you say the girl's name is Kelsey Taylor. You spell it with the C, that's where you got it. But I didn't understand that. I think you'd get away with this one. If you'd gone Robin Tyson, that would be a little more unusual.
What? I don't know how you didn't realize Kelsey Taylor was a thing for Kelsey and Travis. That was obvious to me.
Well, I don't know. It just sounds like a very normal name. No?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know that many Kelseys.
No, I mean,
Well, Kelsey's definitely a popular name.
Yeah. Andre has friends named Kelsey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I knew where you were going right away with the story.
Also, yeah, they have the baby posing with Travis's jersey.
Yeah, not good. And you can't spell it like his last name. There's a way to spell Kelsey as a name, and that's fine. Then you like you say it, and it's an homage to them. You don't need to spell her poor first name, K-E-L-C-E.
This is like the guy who is the other Kobe Bryant, but at least the parents spelled it C-O-B-Y.
Right.
Oh, like the other, there's always a new Michael Jordan. There's a lot of Kobe Bryants.
There are a lot of Kobe Bryants.
Yeah, there was a guy the other day who has a NFL name. Pause for a second. What, Bo, you do your updates. There's an NFL name that was in the news the other day that I was shocked. The same exact name as a superstar. I'm totally blanking.
It was Michael Jordan.
Yeah, the Bucks signed Michael Jordan.
Oh, they signed Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guard Michael Jordan, too.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. A guard. If he went to North Carolina, that'd be crazy. Yeah. You'd have to do the intro, the Bulls intro for him. Anyway, to the people who named their daughter Kelsey Taylor, I give you a stock down. Over to Bogish.
Maybe it's just me, but it feels like we've had too many of these already at training camp. Niners D lineman Teron Jackson taken to the hospital yesterday in an ambulance after something happened late in practice. Jackson went down during a run play with teammates yelling for trainers right away. He was tended to on the field for roughly 7 minutes before being taken off the field and eventually being placed in an ambulance. He was talking, had movement in all extremities, according to the team, but the actual injury issue, even what happened, still unclear at the moment. Last week, we had another player go to the hospital in an ambulance, and another one was airlifted to a nearby hospital. So there's been a lot of extra medical drama out of the gate, and most teams aren't even in pads yet.
I have noticed that. It's awfully hot outside. I think that's part
there's
of
that
it.
There's that, too. Chargers left tackle Rashawn Slater is now the highest-paid O-lineman ever. The team confirming a four-year extension. It's reportedly worth up to $114 million, with $92 million guaranteed. No extension yet for Terry McLaurin, but he is back at Commanders camp, but he's on the PUP list for now with an ankle issue, and we're told that the Dolphins have reworked Minka Fitzpatrick's contract, adding a $16 million signing bonus, which frees up $11 million in cap space. The Mets stayed hot last night, rallying for a 5-3 win in San Francisco on Sunday Night Baseball. That's a three-game sweep and a seven-game win streak for manager Carlos Mendoza.
Understanding that we still got ways to go, but in order to get to where we're going to get, we got to continue to take care of business. So it's not always going to be easy, but, one day at a time mentality.
There, wow. NL.
A lot of cliches in that, that little in quote right there.
The NL East lead is now a game and a half over the Phillies, 4-3 losers at Yankee Stadium yesterday afternoon. Paul Skeens did it again yesterday. Six innings, no runs, 9 Ks, a 6-0 Pirates win over the Diamondbacks. Skeens is majors leading ERA down to 1.83. And Elias believes he is the first pitcher ever to have a sub-2 ERA after his first 45 career starts. It's 1.89.
Elias has too much time on his hands.
That one seems significant and surprising to me that like
Doc Gooden or right. Some of these other incredible young guys who are amazing just right out of the gate. Yep. Fernando Valenzuela.
I'm talking about old school, like a Walter Johnson or something like
that. You guys just mentioned Nikola Jokic, right? Serbia just confirmed he's on their roster for Eurobasket, which starts a month from now. So now we've got him, Luka, and Giannis committed to play for their respective countries in this event.
That's getting right up near NBA training camp, right?
It goes, I think it's like a 3-week thing. It's the end of August into the middle of September. So I don't know if you're going to be late to camp or you're going to be right on time for camp.
It should be fine. Camp usually starts very early October.
Right, because hockey's first and then basketball later in October. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Are guys using this as a way to just get in shape for the season, or do they really feel this pull to play in a non-Olympic year to play for their team?
I feel like the European guys really take their international ball seriously, the non-Olympic games. Like, they'll play most of this stuff unless there's an injury.
Yeah, I think Jokic goes horses, Serbia, Nuggets.
Are you sure there's not something in between that? I mean, his brothers are probably pretty important to him.
WNBA last night, Alyssa Thomas, 27 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and the Mercury's 88-72 win in Washington in the afternoon. The Fever down the sky, 93-78, in a game that featured neither Caitlin Clark nor Angel Reese. Clark remains out with that groin injury, of course. Reese missed her second straight with a back issue. And Liberty forward Brianna Stewart apparently avoiding a major right knee injury Saturday night. She is not playing tonight's game in Dallas, but did go on this 4-game trip with her team. So maybe she is back in the relative near future. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Got a couple things you can weigh in on, including what's more likely. Is Dak Prescott on the Cowboys in 3 years or off the Cowboys in 3 years? I can tell you the early returns, not looking good. And
figure it out.
We have another question for you about who will be the next AFC team to crack into that top three. Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, maybe put the Bengals there hovering around, but who's the next AFC team that's going to crash the party in the playoffs? We have that answer for you next.
Go Bills.
Perloff, over the weekend, you mentioned something to us. You said, wow, Omarion Hampton, just like, this is your guy. I can tell when you get a guy, like when you love a dude and you'll start rooting for him, even if they're playing against your team, like you don't care. You'll just root for them. And I can tell Omarion Hampton of the Chargers is your guy this year.
I'm going to fantasy draft him. He looks like he's chiseled by the gods. gigantic, incredibly cut. I saw him running through some cones. I'm like, we can do that. What's he going to do with the Raiders defense?
Yeah. Yeah, Perloff goes full Collinsworth when he loves somebody. And looks like Omarion Hampton's your dude. But outside of him for your fantasy team, what about him for his actual team? Because yeah. I'm not saying that the Chargers are a running back away, but are they going to be the next team that cracks into this top three of the AFC heavyweights? Of course, that's the Chiefs at number one, and then whatever combination you want to put the Bills and the Ravens. I still think Cincinnati gets a little benefit of the doubt. They're kind of hovering around because Burrow's so good. But who's going to be the next AFC team that cracks that top three and really starts to become a contender?
Well, I'm not including the Bengals in this because I think you see what a mess they are on defense. So to me, it's a two-man competition, or three. The Chargers, the Texans, and the Broncos are the next teams, I think. And I'm going by quality of coaches here.
Yep.
So I actually, because they have the AFC South to beat up on, I'm going to give Houston a slight edge to crack into that. I feel like the Chargers, Chiefs, and Broncos have a problem. They are going to beat each other into smithereens. So I'm a little worried about this, that Jim Harbaugh is not going to have the same kind of success he did very early in San Francisco. You know, second year in San Francisco, he already fully established.
Yep.
They're going to be good. I saw a quote by him that I liked the other day. He said, it is now up to the team to catch up to Justin Herbert. Like, we know we have an elite quarterback, but the rest of the team is still a bit unproven. So I just can't wrap my head around them coming out of that triumvirate. I think the three teams beat each other up, and I think Houston's got a better lane to be that crack-through team. But who do you got?
Interesting. That's a funny quote from Jim Harbaugh, too. Like, isn't that your job, coach? Like... To coach more than just the quarterback, yes. If the rest of the team's going to get better, that's kind of on you, no?
Well, I think he's got
especially this, it's his handpicked GM too.
He's got this bit where he's always talking about Justin Herbert is a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, for whatever reason, his motivational strategy is say just keep telling everyone how amazing Justin Herbert is. But that's what he's saying. He's saying our goal is to everybody on this offense is at the same level. I think he's trying to build Herbert's confidence after last year's 5-pick game in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was brutal.
But Here's my, you know, they're going to want to run the ball. Do they have enough a receiver to really be a full offense? Again, it's the Chiefs and now the Broncos. Yep. I just worry about that. Who's your breakthrough team?
I would have to go probably Texans, but I'm going to go a little off the board here. It's not going to be this year. But can I tell you, I think the next team that is going to consistently be a team.
Got it.
Again, it's not going to be this year, but I think the Patriots are going to get there with Drake May. I do. With Mike Vrabel and May and with the owner as committed as they were, like there is, even without Brady and Belichick, I do think that there is this idea that they figured things out in New England about what it takes to have a dynasty. And I'm not saying they are going to be one, but I do think they hit on Drake May. And I don't know how long it's going to be before he's a legit thing. Now, listen, they're coming off a 4-win season. So they're obviously making the playoffs this year would be unreal. And that's almost too much to ask, I think. But if you're talking about Drake May from year one, where he didn't even get didn't even start off the year as a starter, then get to year two. And then what could he be doing in like year three and year four? I think that's where he starts to break in. So I think Drake May is coming.
I feel like Mike Vrabel is just going to recreate the Titans.
Well, they were number one seed. I mean,
yeah, but they were definitely not
breaking a playoff team.
Yeah, because they beat up on a bad division, much like the Patriots could do if something happens to Josh Allen.
Yeah,
I worry about is he the kind of coach who is going to be able to match his regular season success in the playoffs? Like, I feel like they're going to conservative their way to a bunch of wins. And also, too, if he has Drake May, is he going to... We never saw him do anything with an elite quarterback. He had Ryan Tannehill, obviously. Right. He was more of a Derrick Henry kind of coach. I don't know.
One other thing, can I ask you about the Texans? Yeah. I think the Texans are great. And everyone loves Stroud. Everyone loves D'Amico Ryans. Their defense is obviously coming along, like, tremendous. Jacksonville gets new life now with Travis Hunter. If he becomes even... 3/4 of the star that we think he's going to be, he's a difference maker, right? They do have Trevor Lawrence. I don't know what Liam Cohen's going to be. I could see him being the coach there for the next 10 years, and I can see him being out in 2 seasons. The Jags do not get the benefit of the doubt for hiring coaches. They just don't. And then you love Cam Ward so much. Yeah. I know that you are like watching every training camp throw he makes.
I think they got a star in Cam Ward.
Okay, so the Colts are kind of a mess right now.
I think the Colts
from the quarterback position.
Yeah, but then they win eight games no matter who's playing quarterback.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is you said that the Texans, this is the division they can just beat up on.
Yeah.
But for how long? Like, if the rest of the division is raising their level,
but you think
it might not be so easy to always get these home playoff games for them.
Travis Hunter is really going to make a difference in this? I love Travis Hunter, but I don't know. I do not see.
Maybe not his rookie year, but he's got to figure out how many snaps he can take on both sides of the ball. And everyone, this is all a work in progress.
I think that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Travis Hunter.
Yes. The Shohei Ohtani.
Cam Ward has so much better chance to make an impact.
Well, because he's got the ball in his hands.
That's what I mean.
But Travis Hunter's playing both sides of the ball, Pearl. Like, Cam Ward can't go out there and play safety.
So you're saying a nickel cornerback and a part-time receiver is going to change the whole dynamic. I love Travis Hunter, but unless they get the whole thing with Trevor Lawrence and the offense and the defense, like, there's so much work to do here for Liam Cohen. Their win total is 5 games this year.
I'm not saying this year. You know, they won 4 games last year. I'm not saying this year, but if Travis Hunter is, it's like they got 2 players in the draft. If he can actually do this, and you're the one who wants him to play a full slate on both sides of the ball.
You're the one who predicted him to win the Heisman, right?
I did, and I won. And he did. That.
Yeah, and how many was Colorado a threat in any meaningful way? They couldn't even get out of the Big 12.
Well, to be honest, though, they were in the hunt for the Big 12 only 2 years after having a 1-win season. So I kind of feel like he did really raise the tide, and he was an awesome receiver.
He was the second most important player on that team behind Shador.
Well, but what did the NFL tell you about Shador, and what did they tell you about Travis, and who's actually the more sought after player? Is it the Jags who traded up with Cleveland to get Hunter, and everyone said universally good idea? Everyone mm-hmm. loved that trade. Like, it wasn't even too rich, and Shador fell to the 5th round. So what did the NFL tell you about who was the most important person on that team?
Well, I'm just saying that didn't tell us anything, because a quarterback's still more important than, even if a guy's playing on both sides. I mean,
he's the most important player on that Colorado team.
Yeah, it's just because you go higher doesn't mean you're more important. Like, are you saying, like, you go through the draft, like, these players, doesn't mean you're the most important. If you're a left tackle, you're obviously going to go in the 1st round. That doesn't mean you're more important than the quarterback.
Maybe not more than the quarterback, but what do they tell you about who's got the talent on this team? Like Travis is the unicorn, and Shador is a 5th round quarterback.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, if you're the Texans, you're just not like, oh my God, Travis Hunter is here, we're in big trouble. Because they got to fix their everything. You know, they really need to fix
Trevor. Well, they have a quarterback.
They need to fix Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence definitely is not projecting. He's not sort of ascending the way we expect him to be. And I think Travis Hunter is going to be really good. I don't think he's going to help Lawrence. Like, something's missing there. You have to admit. It has been.
No doubt. I mean, he's now on his 3rd coach.
Yeah, I mean, they really need organizationally to get everything in line. But back to the Texans. If CJ Stroud is healthy, they have no excuse. And they're consistently the worst division. We know this, right? The NFC destroys the AFC South every single year. They are super weak. I think Cam Ward might be the guy to watch, not Travis Hunter.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So who is going to be that team in the AFC that cracks into those top 3 that we're always talking about at the end of the year, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's the Ravens, or whether it's the Bills? I still think that Cincinnati deserve some respect here, but I'm kind of the last person on this show who fears Cincinnati. I think, EJ, you said that they're over?
Old news.
I mean, they're like, what, 10th or 11th in Super Bowl odds? Like, you think they break through?
Just, it's my, like, deference to Burrow, and he's so good, so he always gives you a chance. And if their defense just gets a little bit better, I mean, big if. I get that.
Yeah, it's just always something. It's always, they just feel like one of those teams that for some reason we don't expect them to be this way, but they find a banana in the tailpipe all the time. Like, I don't know why we don't joke about them like joke about the Cowboys. They're the Bengals.
Big highlights coming out of Jermaine Burton, their receiver. Like, they might have another star receiver out of camp. So, yeah, but then again, you got to play defense.
We have one big question about a team everybody is picking to go deep into the playoffs next year on the NFC side. Do that next.